This morning. Praise the Lord. This is the Father's house. Praise the Lord. It's not the hog pen. And we know the difference. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, because there is peace in the house. Joy in the house. Salvation in the house. Healing in the house. Prosperity in the house. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want's in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, this day for this exceeding great and precious promises which you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, for watching over your word to perform it. Thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. We pray, God, you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us a spirit of wisdom and not of fear. And give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer, that we might be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. All right. We're in Acts. I was in Acts. Chapter 17.
Before you get started, Brother Horton, some of them had asked me where was Brother Charles. Brother Charles missed a step Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
It didn't hurt him. I mean, it was just like this. I mean, it was no, you know, he just kept going. And then the next day he said, oh, my foot hurts so bad. It feel like, ooh, something. He said, I think it can't be broken. And I said, no, can't be broken. We got too much to do. So we took him to the doctor to, you know, let the doctor have his say. He said, nothing broken. Mm-hmm. He just cooled.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. Praise the Lord. That's painful, though.
God is faithful.
God is faithful. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. All right. Praise God. So we're not going to have our Revelation studies tomorrow because of Thanksgiving, but then we will meet again the next Monday. So if you see anybody that normally comes on this time, if you wouldn't mind reminding them that we're not going to meet tomorrow, but we will meet the next Monday. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we need to make that announcement this morning. We'll see if we can get them to. And we'll put that on Facebook anyway,
yes,
so we can.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 37. This is where Paul and Silas were just released from prison, or at least they were about to release him from prison. And Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. So here apparently we see that not only Paul was a Roman, but also Silas was apparently a Roman, because there's an S on Roman, which means that there's more than one Roman. And he says that they have beaten us, which doesn't just mean me, but they have beaten me and Silas, openly uncondemned, and we're both Romans. And they have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Amen. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Now, first of all, here we see that the Jews which believed not were moved with envy.
Jealousy or envy? Same way with Jesus.
13:14. Let's look at Acts 13:14. Well, I don't know why we're looking at that. But anyway, there is another place. It's not that one. But there is another place. This is the second place in the book of Acts where it says that the Jews were moved with envy, or they envied Paul. Now, Romans 11 and 11 says...
Acts 13:45.
Let me see.
Is that the whole thing? Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is.
At the end of that.
There it is, 13:45. Okay, there you go, 13:45. Praise the Lord for brother. You get a gold star, brother. There you go. Gold star. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So that is not 13:14. It is 13:45. Let me see if I can get that fixed here. I got to get that straightened out. 13:45.
Apparently they had the same problem we do today, that not everybody inside the church walls is of the Lord.
That's for sure.
You know, and they certainly had that.
Amen.
By the way they acted there.
Romans 11 and 11 says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? He's talking about national Israel now. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Okay? So now, they are supposed to be, the church is supposed to provoke Israel to jealousy. That is its function. And so that then the Israelites will want to, they'll realize that we really serve their God and they're not. So they'll come to Christ. That's the idea. When they see Christ and God working in the church, they're supposed to realize that Christ is in us and that they're supposed to want what we have, praise God.
That's true.
Not vice versa. We're not supposed to want what they have, but they are supposed to be jealous of us wanting what we have. That's the way it works. They're supposed to. Now, so we see that in two places in the book of Acts, in the ministry of Paul, this happened. So this is a prophecy that has been fulfilled.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be fulfilled again.
Twice.
It was actually twice. That's right. We saw it happen twice. So it doesn't actually, as far as fulfilling prophecy is concerned, it was fulfilled. It did happen. Of course, it should still happen. We should still be doing that. Mm-hmm. But just, I don't know why I brought all that out. But it did happen that they actually were provoked to jealousy by the Apostle Paul and the gifts and the ministry and the Holy Spirit working through Paul did provoke the Jews to jealousy, which was a good thing.
It's happening now in Israel, man. A lot of those priests over there are really getting jealous of the Christians that, now I'm talking about authentic Christians, that are worshiping their God. Okay, and more happy and joyful and miracles happening, and they're even trying to pass on the word. Christians can't even come over there because they're jealous of it. That comes from the preachers that go over there all the time.
Well, let's hope that's true, brother. I hope that's true. I hope that we're doing those things. A lot of the stuff I see coming out of Israel and Jerusalem is not that. I hear a lot of people talking about, oh, we want to be like you. Mm-hmm. We want to be like you. Let us be like you. I watch this Watchman, on TV, The Watchman with Eric Stackelbeck. And, when it's a branch of CUFI, Christians United for Israel. And that's what we see on that all the time. Mm-hmm. They're over there in Israel, and we're talking about, the great debt that we owe to the Jews and all that. And all that is true. But we need to be, if we're going to provoke them to jealousy, we don't need to be talking about, oh, how wonderful you are. We need to be talking about how wonderful Christ is and what Christ has done for us and what he's doing for us. And so that they will be jealous of us, not vice versa. But that's not what I'm seeing. Okay? It is not what I'm hearing. And it's so it seems like everything has been turned upside down. It's been turned on its head. And that we're not provoking them to jealousy. They're provoking us to jealousy. And that's just wrong.
Not all of
it. It's just wrong. I haven't seen it, brother. I ain't seeing it. So you got to show it to me because I ain't seeing it. Okay. We need to see some of that because I ain't seeing it all and I ain't even hearing of it. So, but all I'm hearing is, we want to wear the tallis and we want to do all of this and we want all of that. We want to try to be as much like them as we possibly can. And that is backwards. We want them to be like us. Glory to God.
Amen.
Because we have the way, the truth, and the life. We are supposed to provoke them to jealousy, to be like us, not vice versa. And that's not what's going on over there. It's just not happening now. So anyway, all right, I'll get off my hobby horse here. I'm back in Revelation. I'm back on Monday night. Okay. All right. Now I am going to go to Revelation again real quick here. Uh-huh. Revelation chapter 2 verse 9 and Revelation chapter 3 verse 9. And Revelation 2 and 9 says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Yep. And 3 and 9 says, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. There were the early churches, the churches of Asia, the seven churches of Asia were going through a lot of tribulation and persecution because of the Jews in that area. The Jews were stirring up the Roman officials and persecuting the Christians. So a lot of what was happening to the Christians was instigated by the Jews. And you see that's most of Paul's opposition, wherever Paul went. Who was it that stirred up all the opposition that tried to kill him all the time? Who was this always trying to kill him? It was the Jews all the time. It was the Jews who were jealous of him that were always trying to kill him.
Full of rage.
That's right. They were, and they were. That was his chief opponents, and his adversaries were the Jews. So that was still going on in the churches of Asia when. And I don't want to get too deep into this because that would take us all the rest of the time and then some. But you know, I can't. But they were having trouble which church was it? In Pergamos. Pergamos was one of the churches where they were really having trouble with the Jews. No, it was Smyrna. Smyrna was one. And then in 3 and 9... it was Philadelphia. So they were having trouble with the synagogues in those areas were causing the church problems. And they were that's where the persecution was really coming from. It was instigated by the Jews. And Brother Renner goes into that in quite a detail in his books, his series on the seven churches of Asia. It's very interesting. But anyway, Paul was basically, if Paul hadn't had opposition from the Jews, he'd have been free sailing. He wouldn't have had any problems. He wouldn't have had no problems. But they were a thorn in his flesh. They were a thorn in his side. The Jews were a thorn in his side. Quite literally, I think they were. Anyway, they were moved with envy and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all of the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And this is my Kenneth Copeland Bible here, and his note says down here at the end of verse 5, he says, envy always causes a fight. And that's basically true. Envy always causes a fight. Yep. And so that was what was behind all of this, is that they were jealous of Paul, and they were jealous that God was with Paul and not with them.
The thing is, they could have had the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Not without Jesus, they could.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And that's the problem, that's right.
They received Jesus, and they could
have
had the same
thing. That is correct. That is absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. When they found them not, they drew Satan. Satan? Lord have mercy. Help us now. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Well, that's quite a testimony right there. And it would be wonderful if they could say that of us today, that we have turned the world upside down. Unfortunately, they don't say that about us very often.
That's what we were talking about this morning.
They should, we should have this testimony. It'd be wonderful if we had this testimony wherever we go. And then when we preach the gospel, we ought to have such a testimony that we have turned the world upside down. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. That is a great testimony to have. Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Well, this, of course, was calculated to bring the wrath of the Roman government down on them and get them all killed. They wanted them dead. They wanted the Christians dead by any means necessary, by any means possible. They wanted the Christians dead, so they started this business about them being anti-Caesar and all this. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Which appears to be some kind of, they exacted some kind of a peace bond or something from him. And some kind of a promise that he would not cause trouble or some such. It's hard to tell exactly what all the terms of that were. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So there they go back into the synagogue of the Jews again.
Stir up more trouble.
Stir up more trouble. Amen, that's true. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now this is a good scripture right here. This is a good scripture. These Berean Christians were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. So they followed Paul around everywhere he went, trying to undo everything Paul did, trying to stir up trouble and accuse him before the magistrates and so on and so forth, and they stirred up the people. This is classic demonic activity. This is the devil, the accuser of the brethren. This is exactly what he does. He is accuser of the brethren. This is by definition what the word Satan means. It's the adversary. Mm-hmm. And so they were actually adversaries, and being adversaries to the gospel and adversaries to Christ, they were being absolutely used of the devil in every way possible.
All manner.
In all manner of things, yes. Then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry.
Oh,
what do you say today if he was here?
I think he'd have quite a bit to say.
Maybe he'd have a heart attack.
I think if Paul would have a lot to say today.
Watch 1 hour TV, he'd have a heart attack.
Well, I don't think he'd have to watch TV. I think he could come to some of our services and he would probably be...
I was talking about idolatry. But yeah, come to our services.
He could come to some of our services and be provoked, I think, by some of the stuff that we're teaching and...
Well, an awful lot of, well,
that's true. I mean, of course, you're talking about television. If you watch church programs on television, a lot of the church programs you watch on television would kind of stir my spirit.
Brother Renner says in that book that we're seeing a rise of paganism.
A rise in paganism. Yes.
And right before our eyes, we are seeing it.
That's right.
I see.
That's correct.
In America. I see so much pagan stuff in America that it just kind of blows my mind.
The reason why the Christians are falling for it is because the Word is not in them, and He is not in them because of that. See, you have to have the Word in them. If the Word's in you, then you can recognize anything fake.
Yes.
That's true.
That's what's causing it.
That's true. The good Word of God needs to be in you. And you will, you've got to recognize it through the Word of God. That is true.
We've got to be more like the Berean sense.
But more like the Berean,
whenever,
that's right.
You know, whenever you hear something
that is true
preached, you need to talk, whatever. You need to take it
and
search it
that's
out
right.
and see, okay, now, is this
that's
right?
Right. That's well, right.
Just a little bit. You know, the devil takes the Word and he just adds a little bit to it or may leave a little bit off.
Right.
And it sounds so good. But these days, we've got to be a lot more careful than we've ever
been. Deception.
We've got to be, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Ray was saying earlier, it's just time for the church to awake. Mm-hmm. When you have sleepy, anything is, you know, you take anything. But when you awake to righteousness, you're not taking nothing.
Got
but
to
what
awake
the word
to righteousness.
Yeah.
Be better. It's high time to wake out of sleep.
Hey,
now is our salvation.
This is the time. This is high time. This is the time.
And what high time mean that it's just no more time. I
That's
heard
right.
Winnie Bennett say when she was young, she would slowly wake up in the morning. She wouldn't wake her mom. You come in and say, it's time to get up. That's all she'd say. And then she said, when she knew that was just playing, you know. But when she came back and said,
girl,
you, and she said, she knew it was high time. But you were waiting for her to do the high time.
Yeah.
Get her out
there. Church has reached the place of high time. It's good.
Yeah, we had, when Monty was growing up, we had that same, we had that same dilemma. He was hard to get up, man. He was hard to get up.
Two girls playing right now. It's hard.
Throw water on them.
There was times. There
high time.
High time when that water comes in. That's right.
No more time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Ice cold water. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Monty.